ショー見せてくれ、忘れられないキスをして二人で甘い秘密を抱きしめたい。バディバディバディ愛を止めないで。
Welcome to the Otaku Melancholy Podcast, the anime and otaku culture podcast that's ultra romantic, all about semantics, and definitely a little pedantic. My name is Matt, and I'm hoping that the first listen you have is the first listen that'll last forever. And hopefully, by the time you're listening to this podcast, your reading skills will have improved, because you will have read the title and realized that we're talking about the newest Kaguya-sama movie. And by newest, I mean the only Kaguya-sama movie. To my knowledge, at least. There might be a Chinese bootleg knockoff that's something like, you know, Kaguya-sama War is Kiss or something like that. Who knows? I don't know. That's why I'm saying all this right now. Anyways, due to the grace of Crunchyroll giving us only 2 days to watch the Kaguya movie, I am here to talk about the Kaguya movie. And I'm sure that by the time this episode comes out, there will be extensions to those days. There is no way that they're only allowing the movie to play for 2 days and then saying, that's it, this really popular anime movie will be gone forever and is sealed into the vault. I do not think that's going to happen, and hopefully I will be proven right. Future Matt, if I was proven right, you can just interject right here. You were right, Past Matt. It was extended all the way to Sunday. Great job on knowing how predictable Crunchyroll will be. Bravo, bravo. Fantastic. Hopefully that's a big win for me. If not, well then it's just another day in paradise, isn't it? Paradise, of course, being my life. So yeah, if you know this podcast and you know me, then you know that I am a huge Kaguya-sama Love is War stan. And so when this movie got announced for stateside, colloquial and what I can only believe to be the kind of phrase that the highly intelligent, highly educated would use, when it got announced over here, I literally came in my pants. Because I love Kaguya, and I didn't expect that movie to get it released over here, really and truly. It's one of those things that you always kind of hope that it'll come over, but you're just anticipating maybe, you know, just streaming. But to get an actual theatrical release was just, ooh, it was good. It was fantastic. Loved hearing it. Was so excited. And then the dates got announced, and I said, oh no, they're going to be on only 2 days, and what 2 days are they? Both of my off days. So that was fantastic, because it was just the stars were lining up just for me, and I was super thrilled all about it, and I was really excited, and I went to go see it. So, if you have not watched the Kaguya-sama movie, there will be a mild spoiler section. I don't want to ruin the movie completely, but if you want to do a review, then you gotta talk a little bit about the plot. But I'm just gonna go ahead and say it, that if you're trusting me for an honest and fair review over a franchise that I adore in every single way, I would really hate to tell you that I'm gonna let you down on this one. And yeah, I'm sorry. I can't see the whole flaws with Kaguya. I know they're there, and people tell me they're there, and I can understand why people would not get into it. I'm never going to be the kind of person who would be so blinded by their adoration for a franchise or a series to say that it doesn't have flaws, or that it just is wholly devoid of failures. But Kaguya, I love it. I love it to an extraordinary degree. I got some pop-up parades. I just got that chilling out over there. They're great. This is a little Chica, a little Kaguya. Great stuff. I love it. I absolutely adore the series for all the things that it does. There's never been a dull moment for me. So unfortunately, I would have to say that there's going to be a little bit of bias in my review. Just a little bit. It's not like I've given all three seasons of the anime 10 out of 10 scores. What are you talking about? I definitely didn't do that. That would be very foolish. So yeah, I don't know if you're going to trust me for a reliable review. But hopefully you will and just say that, yeah, he's spitting. Let him cook. Hopefully that'll be the case for this, but if it isn't, then what can you do? I can only see, calls them like I sees them, and I sometimes sees them with not very good vision. We gotta wear glasses over here. So, before I discuss the Kaguya-sama movie, and like I said prior, there will be a little sectioned off review section, or for Hard Spoiler, in case you just want to just see if the movie's worth seeing, which it is, if you like Kaguya. There'll be a little section for that, and then there'll be just a hard-ass, whole Big Country spoiler section that will absolutely probably ruin the movie just a little bit, just a tiny little bit. But I'll warn you when that happens, because you know what? I like you. I think you're really cool. You want to go to prom with me? No? Okay. It's fine. I don't like you anyways. But no, seriously, let's go. And I'm going to do a little bit of check-ins talking about what I've been doing this week, as if you care. But if you don't care, then you can just skip this section too. You can probably just skip this whole podcast. It's probably going to be a whole lot of filler. Who knows? So as far as what's been going on in my life, not a whole lot, my dude. Say that every time, don't I? Just load it up and fire it out. So not really a whole lot's going on for me. I've been playing... Before I recorded this, I just played a little bit of Marvel's Midnight Suns just because it was available to play. And I really, really liked it, surprisingly enough. I've been in a huge strategy game move lately. I've just been wanting to play strategy games. I've been wanting to use my brain, not have to... Just use my brain. All the time, Fire Emblem, this game, just wanted to have a big brain moments for me. Since I haven't been using this brain in a while. So Marvel's Midnight Suns, really cool. Really cool game. I mean, I played 30 minutes of it and I said, dang, that's a really cool game. That's my official review. It's a really cool game. But that's just what I just done. The rest of the week, I've been kind of in a manga mood. The manga reading app that I use, I basically bookmark any manga that has any sort of a little bit of remote interest to me. So it's just filled with just one and done, one like 40 chapter long just lewd series and sports series that I'm never going to read because I just want to pretend like I'm going to be a sports ball person in anime and manga form. It's not going to happen. We don't do sports ball over here. But speaking of sports ball, I'm about 60 chapters deep into Cross Game by Mitsuru Adachi, who I mentioned previously as doing Mayuki, which was a SysCon manga. I feel like I mentioned this ad nauseum at this point. But I've been 60 chapters in that, and it's so good. I am so glad that Dan introduced me to Cross Game, because it's got me literally thinking that maybe, just maybe, I could like baseball. Maybe. I've never seen a baseball game before. Or in my recent memory, and I'm thinking that this could be my sport. This could be the sport that I get into. But then what would probably happen when I watched a baseball game, I'd say, when's the backstory coming? I need to know why this pitcher is pitching like this. What is his motivation? Where's his dead best friend? I need to know these things, or I just don't care. And I'm basically going to just ride into MLB being like, every single player needs to have a tragic backstory, or I'm not going to care about this stupid sport. Come on. So, Cross Game. Really good. I highly recommend you check that out. But if you're going to check it out legally, I highly advise you to be a millionaire, because it's a really expensive series to collect physically. I wanted to do it, but you get like volume 3 and onwards of the Viz release is like $60 for a single volume. What are you talking about? What kind of insanity? What kind of insanity is that? I'll tell you what kind of insanity is. It is a hard insanity. It's expensive insanity. So Cross Game, read that. I recommend it. It's a whole lot of greatness. There's also an anime, which I watched a good bit of, thanks to, as I mentioned before, Dan. A great guy. 10 out of 10 man, that Dan. You should go listen to anything he ever does and buy records from him. Just support the man. He's got a great guy. Great guy. So yeah, go watch the anime for Cross Game too if you don't like reading. I mean, you'll be reading subtitles, but you know, that's a different type of reading. And outside of that, I've just mostly been trying to exist until the next Yakuza game comes out. Sorry, Like a Dragon. I've got to fix myself on that. It's Like a Dragon right now. It's not Yakuza anymore. So Like a Dragon Ishin comes out on Tuesday, and I'm so excited. I didn't get the digital version because I just don't like digital games if they're for my consoles. I'm sorry. If it's a big game, like a big game I'm excited for, I want the physical release. So I'm not going to buy, even though I get to play it early, which is so unfair. If I could get to play Like a Dragon Ishin right now if I got the digital copy, and it's so hard not to go buy it and just call out of work and just play it all day. But I just want the physical copy. I just need to see it on my shelf with my other Yakuza/Like a Dragon games. I need that. I need that. So I'm just existing for the sake of that game right now. I am eagerly awaiting. I am with bells on. I am eager. I am excited. You cannot fathom the sheer joy that I am feeling in my heart of hearts right now waiting for that game. It's worth living for. Yakuza is worth living for. Go play Yakuza. Have I said that before? I feel like I haven't said it, but maybe a billion times already. I mean, it's on Game Pass. You can literally go to your local drugstore, liquor store, plop down a $5 bill. They'll give you a crisp copy of Yakuza 0, and you will. It'll be the best $5 you've ever spent. Guaranteed. I guarantee that. If you're not thrilled with your purchase of Yakuza 0, I will refund you nothing. You think I'm made of money to just refund you $5? Get the hell out of here. I don't have that kind of money. So, yeah, go play Yakuza. I'm going to say that until you play Yakuza. Have you heard about Yakuza? It's great. Go play Yakuza. I'm going to be one of those fans. So, yeah. And that's basically the only thing I've really got going for me at this point. I'm doing some reading, too. I've actually been in a huge, huge Stephen King kick lately. So, I'm maybe like 60% somewhere in that ballpark through Salem's Lot. And here is the thing. I don't know if you, listener, are reading or literate. I presume a lot. If you have the ability to read, I kind of recommend using that newfound ability to go read Salem's Lot. It is just the perfect buildup of suspense. Like, basically the first half of the book is just sheer world building about the town of Jerusalem's Lot, only to end up when the bad stuff actually goes down to being horrifying and just mortifyingly grim and scary. And it has been such a fun ride, and it's got me just in this big Stephen King kick. After I finish Salem's Lot, I'm probably going to go through a Darth Egg. Darth Egg. How did I forget this? All right, so I was going to say that Darth Egg recommended Hearts in Atlantis for me, or the woman who loved Tom Gordon. I don't remember which one exactly he recommended, but he did recommend me some good books. A great guy, too. Actually, but not really. Darth Egg. I don't know if you're listening to this, but if somebody is talking to Darth Egg and is aware of Darth Egg and communicates with them on the regular, tell them to stop. To stop. They know what they did. They need to stop. Darth Egg is a supporter of the podcast, and here's a shout out right now, Darth Egg. Stop. Just stop. I just had to take a side to say this. Stop. Stop. I don't need to get an email about your shenanigans, man. All right, no, but Darth Egg recommended me some more Stephen King, so I'm going to go through that after I finish Salem's Lot. Or I'll just go through the Dark Tower. Who knows what I'll do? I don't even know. Anyways, shout out to Darth Egg for sending me fun, cool games. Yeah. If you know, you know. And if you don't know, it's probably better that you don't know. All right, but I guess that's pretty much it for me, outside that little aside, to tell you that I'm reading a book and that I'm trying to live my best weeaboo life. But anyways, I think that's enough for check-ins. We're just going to go ahead and talk about Kaguya-sama, The First Kiss Lasts Forever. What? That's not its actual name. Matt, you dummy, you big doo-doo head. Isn't it? Matt? The First Kiss That Never Ends. Sorry, basically same thing. Or Kaguya-sama wa Kokura Setai First Kiss wa Owaranai. Sorry, I'm trying my best. Our literal translation, I don't have one at the ready for. But before we talk about this movie, we're going to take a quick little break. Hey folks, it's Matt here to talk just a tiny bit about Boomslank. Boomslank is an anime apparel and lifestyle brand that has super unique style and art across their entire lineup of phone cases, posters, hoodies, t-shirts, and stickers. I actually really, really love their stuff, which is why I'm so hyped to talk about them, because you know I'm an actual fan of theirs and their lead artist, Shinobi P. I have their Mania phone case and their Leo hoodie, and they're both these kind of things that my coworkers who aren't into anime, usually, and my friends who are definitely into anime anime actually say something to me about, because they both have this kind of spirit and design that you're not really going to see anywhere else in the market as far as anime apparel and those kind of products go. So that being said, I'm super excited to say that if you want to get some Boom Slank merch and help support the podcast in the process, you can go to their website, boomslank.com, and use our coupon code at checkout, Otaku Melancholy Podcast, that's all one word, and you'll get 10% off your purchase. Or if you just want to go straight to their website, you can go to the www.boomslank.com/otakumelancholypodcast to just have that coupon code automatically applied when you go to checkout. So yeah, a huge thanks to Boom Slank for reaching out and offering to help and support this podcast, because it means so much for, you know, a brand that I actually like and that Audrey and I both really admire to help support us. And just in case you didn't know how to spell that, it's boomslank.com. And there's even a link to their website with our coupon code in the show notes of whatever platform you're listening to this episode on. Thank you guys for listening to this. Back to the episode. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the break. If you didn't enjoy the break, then you can go to patreon.com/otakumelancholy and support us for as little as $3 a month to get added content, a shout out at the end of every episode, as well as no more breaks. You also get access to a super secret Discord channel where we talk about super secret things, like our favorite size of tires. I haven't decided what my favorite size of tire is yet, but I'm hoping that soon I'll be able to figure it out. Anyways, let's get around and talk about some Kaguya-sama movie. A quick thing though, I just realized that I had recently changed the layout of my room, so if there is an extra echo or a problem with this recording, then I'm going to blame that. I just literally looked around my room and said, since our last recording, I really have changed things a lot in here, and I hope that doesn't mess with, like, the audio dynamic, but hey, Craig will figure that out, won't he? He'll figure that out. And speaking of figuring things out, the Kaguya-sama movie. So, if you're coming in here and you're still listening, then I'm assuming that you have at least a little bit of experience with Kaguya, at least to know what the premise is. Miyuki Shiragane and Kaguya Shinomiya are at odds with trying to figure out how to make the other one confess their love to them. And so, we go through two seasons of where we kind of just stall our engines and just pretend that we're going to make any progress, and then season three happens, and then actual progress starts to happen, which is what this season basically opens up on. And I've heard some criticisms from some voices who have to say that this entire movie just feels like season 3.5, and really and truly, even the layout of it, it has those classic Kaguya cutaway bits after sequences. Basically, after they have a whole sequence, you know, like a whole joke, the whole 10-minute long gag, then they have that quick little aside, you know, that kind of reads like a bonus from a manga, and then the anime continues on to the next little bit, to the next little battle. And that is all well and good and replicated. In the Kaguya movie, which kind of through the entire watching made me just feel like this is going to be made into season 3.5. We all know it. I'm fairly certain they announced that is entirely what their purpose is for this. But yeah, that's entirely what it felt like. I just felt like I was watching episodes that have been spliced into one long movie. It was a good movie, but if you're really wanting for that more cinematic experience, maybe you won't be getting it from this. I know the week prior, 2 weeks prior, I had complained about Slime and the way that it didn't feel like a movie, and now I'm talking about how Kaguya-sama really just feels like an anime episodes that were spliced into one giga-chunk movie, and I'm praising it. So I'm not a hypocrite, I'm just stupid. There you go, that's my entire explanation for this. But no, it's Kaguya-sama. If you're familiar with the core anime, then you know that it really has some masterful sort of transitions and scene setups, and they really do a lot of things with just transitions that are really fluid, like using Miyuki's eyes to sort of segue into another scene. You've got all of those sort of beautiful graphics that demonstrate what's going on into a character's head, and it really morphs into just this beautiful monstrosity of just fun and finesse, at least in my eyes it is. And this movie is no different from the core TV series by any means. Unfortunately for what Slime did wrong, that means that this looks kind of like a, this kind of just looks like the TV anime. And I bitched and moaned and complained and whined about that in Slime's instance. But hey, maybe Slime's animation shouldn't suck ass. No, but that is really unfair to Slime. It does look like the TV anime for certain. There is a chase scene that occurs midway through the movie involving Kaguya and Miyuki, and that looks really good. That looks great. But it just doesn't even have that sort of animation that feels unfitting for the TV show. It's really vibrant. It's really vivacious. It's a very great scene, and just it's really intense and over the top, and kind of highlights that style that I love from Kaguya when it actually decides to pick up the pace. When A1 decides to go like, oh yeah, that's right, we can do some pretty cool stuff if we want to, and actually get their ass into gear. And speaking of A1. I guess I should go ahead and just highlight some of the talent involved with this movie, mostly to fill up time. But this movie was directed by Shinichi Omada, who also directs the Kaguya-sama anime, where you're seeing a huge trend here, because it's basically the same thing. But yeah, he also directed San Korea and Showa Genroku Rakugo Shinju, you know, the anime that all your cool friends like. And I think that's pretty much it for the real highlights of his career. That's all I'm really seeing that stands out to me. So yeah, real lot of talent there. This is why this just feels like a long anime episode, much to the detriment of someone like me who was just literally 2 weeks ago complaining about Slime just making a long ass anime movie that was just a regular TV show. But unlike what Slime was doing, this is actually a movie that is plot relevant. And by plot relevant, I mean it literally hangs off the edge of what happened in season 3. In fact, the first scene of season of this movie is actually the ending from season 3, as far as just the gag that Kaguya has with Hayasaka and the nature of the kiss that she had, you know. So there's a lot there. And it just literally just peaks off that point and then goes into the next plot point immediately with a cute, adorable little bit that I love from the manga. Again, huge Kaguya-sama simp. Not the biggest Kaguya-sama simp that I know. That title is reserved for a very illustrious few that will be shouted out at the end of the episode because they're also a patron. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Lots of love. But I am a huge simp, so I've read the manga already. So seeing that scene adapted with Chibi Kaguya and Chibi Miyuki was absolutely adorable and heartwarming. It was just stupid fluff, but it was fun stupid fluff. And it, I would like to say, and I guess this is, should be a great little segue into other topics before I actually dissect the movie a little bit more, but if you're going to, please, if you're going to go see an anime movie, please understand this, other weebs of the world, otaku, weebs, anime enjoyer, person of culture, I don't care what term you want to use to define yourself, but I just would like to say that if you're of just the premonition that everyone in the theater is going to think that you're funny with your jokes, with your memes, with your references that you're going to shout out loud, I would like for you to instantly dispel that notion, because you are not. You are not the funniest person in the room. No one wants to hear you shout, Eren Yeager! Or anything like that. You're not funny. We're not here to be your friends. At least a good bit of us aren't. So please, this is not a con experience. If this was a con anime viewing room, yeah, I think you would have a little bit of a leeway there to just talk and just have a little bit of fun, because I don't think anybody going to see an anime viewing room to watch an anime, I don't think they're invested in that. They didn't pay money specifically to watch that anime, so they're not going to be upset when you think you're a fucking meme lord. But so please, don't do it. If we're paying like $15 a ticket to go in and see a film, don't meme. And I'm saying that because I was in a showing where one guy thought he was the funniest person alive, and I hope that their dreams, wishes, and otherwise ambitions always fail in ways that never quite make them sad, but never quite give them hope. I just hope that that happens for them because they wouldn't shut up. And another thing, I got my tickets almost the day 2 that that the movie was announced in a theater that was basically five towns over, because while we can have the convenience of getting the Slime movie and Dragon Ball movie and Demon Slayer movie, anything that I actually legitimately have 100% investment in, I have to travel for. So, yeah. So I had to travel all that way, and I did it by myself. And if you know me, you probably don't know me too well, I don't like driving. I'm not a fan of it. I hate driving. I've got the bad anxiety. I just hate driving. And I didn't have anybody to go see this with, so I drove myself there. Got my tickets. I got them the day after. Got myself a little nice seat in the back so I could see the subtitles. Which, if you're a pro anime movie watcher in theaters, you'll realize that if you're watching sub stuff, it's sometimes beneficial to get in the back just so you can see the whole ass screen without having your eyes dart around everywhere. It's just a pro move, pro tip to you from me, and you can keep that for free. So I got there in the back, and I was just awesome. I don't know if there's going to be any people here. I don't know. I got my tickets first. I only saw one little X in the showing for February 15th. And I sat back in the back. I was happy. I was content. I got there really early. I got there pretty early because I was just so excited. I got myself my large ass popcorn. I got myself my bucket of soda, and I'm ready for this experience. And then people came in, and I had to sit next to two strangers. And I have to say, I hated it. Yeah, this is an anime review, but I just, please, please don't sit next to strangers. I mean, I know we want the back seats, but come on, please just give me this. So I've also resolved myself that if I ever have to do this again, I'm going to buy the seats next to me so I don't have to deal with what happened afterwards when I was trying to watch the movie. Outside of Meme Lord chilling out in the midsections thinking that they are God's gift to humor, I also had to deal with a dude on my left who reeked of weed and a dude on my right who thought we were friends or something because he also tried to talk to me. And that was not a great combo. One, I'm not the biggest fan of the smell of weed. And two, I don't like being talked to by strangers or people I have no idea who they are. I gotta have a little bit of leeway up there, you know, like I gotta be aware of your existence and know what you're like before you talk to me. I'm just a really anxious-filled person. And this person kept talking to me and talking to me and talking to me, and I'm just, just grunting, just bear noises, just to know that I have heard what they said. They kept talking, and when the movie was finished, and the credits were rolling, I got up and they asked me, "Are you not staying for the post-credit scene?" And I looked at him and I said, "There is no post-credit scene," and I left. And then I had to Google to make sure there was no post-credit scene, and I didn't look like an asshole. Fortunately for me, according to Reddit, there wasn't, so big win on my end. We've already ranted about how much post-credit scenes suck, so yeah, I'm not going to do that again. But anyways, fuck off post-credit scenes. And mid-credit scenes, and early-credit scenes, and pre-credit scenes. Pre-credit scenes are just the movie, Matt. Well, fuck those two. All right, so yeah. So my viewing experience wasn't the most optimal, but I was really thrilled to see how many people were in that theater. I went to go see Demon Slayer a couple of days after it came out. And that was still pretty full, but the Kaguya movie was absolutely just packed. It was joyous to see. It made my heart, the cockles of my heart warm to a tremendous degree just seeing all those people who just had good taste. I was like, oh. Although marijuana guy who sat next to me was not finding the movie funny at all. And that started from the very first scene involving Chibi Miyuki and Chibi Kaguya, which I'll get back to talking about the movie now. Sorry about that. Hope you'll forgive that little tangent. Normally tangents are reserved when you have other people to talk to, but hey, I can do that to myself as well. So, yeah. So that section was adorable. I was super excited for it. And the entire time I was going through my brain saying, what's this going to cover? What is this going to cover? I've read the manga. I know what happens. So where is this going to cover? And it was basically just the Ice Kaguya arc, mini arc, whatever. And that's got to be actually one of my favorite arcs because it's post, hey, we have confessed to each other. But it's pre-lovey-dovey 100% arc that occurs briefly after. And so I was just sitting there going like, yes, I love this. It's so funny. Ice Kaguya is adorable. She's just, ooh, it's just so much fun. And so the scenes just went into the Ice Kaguya stuff, which is where eventually, after having a council of decisions, Kaguya says, her, or Ice Kaguya, the side of her that's stern and cold, says, I want Miyuki to like me. I've liked him the longest. So I'm going to take control of the reins because you've been fucking this up a lot, Chibi Kaguya. So I will take control now and we're going to get Miyuki to fall even more in love with us. And we're going to have a huge win all around. Here I go. And so Ice Kaguya takes over, which is kind of out of context, makes it seem like Kaguya has some issues with split personalities. And the guy next to me, marijuana guy, he just was not vibing. I don't know why he was there. He didn't laugh at anything. Nothing was funny. But I was just, every single scene had me guffawing. But I think Kaguya-sama as an anime, manga, and story just hits me right in the funny bone. It just does this thing that I love, which is super hyper-serious situations that any person would treat out of in context at what they're looking at. They would think it's absolute buffoonery, but Kaguya treats it with such a degree of seriousness that it's hard to just not laugh at it for a lot of circumstances. But as this movie kind of deals with more of the heavy sort of love stuff that Kaguya actually descends into, the laughs per minute were a little bit lower than prior seasons, but it was still a whole lot of fun, especially when we did get kind of into that the classic little battles that have kind of unfolded in the early seasons, where Ice Kaguya is trying to make Miyuki do something, or trying to manipulate Miyuki, who has at this point just dropped his guard entirely, and is just, hey, I've already done this thing, so our circumstances should be fully aware of by both parties, and Kaguya has suddenly decided that she is just going to go back to her classic ways, especially with the hand-holding scene. I loved that in the manga, in that whole just, my hands are so cold, and Miyuki is just, she's saying that she wants someone to guide her, and I just don't have the hands for it, and she's just, it must be so easy having your hands in your pocket. He's like, what is she criticizing me, that I need to be more formal with her? It's just hilarious. It's an absolute joy. It's classic Kagu comedy. Classic Kagu comedy. You get your Kagu yelps and your Kagu yafas, all that. And while you're watching this, I know I did. But yeah, it really just started off with classic Kaguya situations, which is just humor. And then the movie just got realer and realer and more serious. Never to a degree that is unwelcome, if I'm giving my little mini sort of discussion review for the people who are going to dip for spoilers. It never reached that level of discomfort, you know, where a series or whatever gets super just into itself, where it collapses in on the melodrama. Never reached that point, never had that sort of a moment where it did that. But that said, the guy next to me he was talking a good, like, he did a little whisper talk, you know, like, to himself, which, again, guy, if you're listening to this podcast and you know who you are, if that was you, then I really hope that things work out for you, because I too, I've been there. Anyway, so this guy, the guy next to me, was talking pretty regularly to himself underneath their breath, and I couldn't help but notice. But during several scenes that were really potently serious, overwhelmingly so towards the end there, he kept going, what? That's weird. And in fact, groaned at one scene where Ice Kaguya revealed herself and kind of made it apparent that she wasn't going to let things just slide. And he just went, oh, not this again. And I looked at him, I'm like, this is the show, my brother in Christ. We're here for the antics. I don't know what you're here for. I'm here for the Death Note level of thinking and just Herculean jumps in logic to conclusions that are complete buffoonery. I'm here for it. I'm here for this experience, my guy. So if they want to have this happen again, I'm not going to complain. But I do feel like there was a from just what I was experiencing, a little bit of a collective sigh when that Ice Kaguya revealed herself. And then later on, as I'm going to bring it back to when we actually got into some more serious notes, that's when I noticed there was also a huge just a little bit of rustling in the audience. And speaking of the audience, I'm keep lapsing off of topic like I was ever capable of staying on topic. There was a family who went to go see this movie, like four, like a mother, a father, and two daughters. And I said, oh, are they bringing their two daughters to it? That's some great parenting. That really touched my heart. That was great. Good, great parents. Great parents. Or maybe the kids just had to go see it with the parents. I don't know. I'm not going to make assumptions. It could have been either or. But that's good. Good family. Good family night. Good family night for those four. Back on topic. Back on topic. Yeah, so the movie just went to the serious parts towards the end. And I'm not going to spoil anything. We're going to go into spoils in a minute if you don't want any spoilers. And that's when I feel like a lot of people were kind of losing interest. I myself, who knew what the situation was by reading the manga, when it got into a more heavier deconstruction of Kaguya's feelings and her sentiments and her self-identity, it was a lot more palpable in the manga, I felt like. It's built up for more drama. And the anime, I feel like it lingers longer and it kind of becomes more introspective. And it's one of the things that it feels very teenage high school, which these are the characters, they're teenagers and they're in high school. But I like the sentimentality that Kaguya has with herself. I can understand where a lot of these characters are motivation-wise. That's one of the things that I like about this franchise as a whole. Is that every character, early on, there are a lot of just caricatures of what archetypes they're kind of supposed to be representing. Miyuki being the overconfident, overachieving type. Shinomiya, or just call her Kaguya. Why did I suddenly use her her family name like I was afraid of her? She's supposed to be kind of more of that close-hearted tsundere type a little bit. But even early on in Kaguya, so you see she's a lot nicer than that. But these archetypes eventually just crumble, and when they crumble, you can see what these characters are actually like, and you can see the facades that they've built up and how they were used in their little game of love war. And when it kind of crumbles and you see what's beneath it all, that's when I really got wholeheartedly invested in the show and series and franchise as a whole. But I still loved the comedy, so when we got both at the same time, I was just in for an absolute amazing ride for myself. And when this whole breakdown that occurs in the latter end of the movie, when it kind of happens and Shinomiya is looking at herself and kind of just having to reconcile her feelings versus what she is, I was like, yeah, that is a very teenage experience, I suppose, especially as it relates to love and about your feelings for another person, especially given your identity as a Shinomiya. But I don't know. I just kind of had to accept it in the moment. I don't know. Miyuki's especially, because Miyuki has his own little moment of self-actualization as well that occurs later on. Those two parts are the rougher parts in the manga, pretty enjoyable. But I don't know, maybe it's just the fact that they stayed and kept going. And when you're seeing a movie or a cinematic experience, it's still just, if you're sitting for too long, when characters give you exposition and talk about their feelings or talk about what's happened, if it goes past a certain point, you kind of start to feel it age, because you see it in the big screen, you're seeing it propped up on you like several feet, 100 feet, whatever, 50 feet, I don't know how big theaters are. You see that on the big screen and it wears itself out really quickly because it's just not a very cinematic thing. You want to watch something cinematic in that kind of experience. I at least feel like you do to some degree. And so just having that happen can kind of take you out of the experience, or at least that's my personal philosophy on it. I might be wrong, or you might not agree. I respect that. So those scenes didn't exactly feel crispy and comfy in this theater experience. So they were really kind of the weakest parts, which is a shame, because that's what we're kind of working towards the entire movie, despite the gags, despite the circumstances that happen. We're all trying to get to the end conclusion, which is, where will this relationship go? When will it stop being love is war and being more love is love? And that those scenes where we get the introspection, it is a little bit flatter on a theater experience. That's just my perspective. But I still love this movie, and you know I love this movie. But that's just the point. That's just what I'm saying. Despite that, you still have all that crispy comedy that I love from Kaguya, the little war battles, and you of course get to see Miyuki's dad, Shirogane dad, as he is called on Mal, just getting to see him on the big screen, oh, that's worth every penny. That's even worth the Fandango charges you had to pay to reserve the movie. That's great. And the Quack Doctor. I love those two characters. They're so minor characters, but they're just absolute, just memeing, lovable comedy whores. I love these dudes. They're so funny. And you get to see Maki in the big screen too, which is always nice because Maki is a very underappreciated Kaguya girl. She's just never going to get merch, and she's just always suffering. She's just always suffering, and that hurts. And speaking of suffering, we're about to go into big spoiler country with our big 10-gallon hats and our big lassos to lasso us some coyote, some steer, some bison, some all of that. We're going to get those with our big anime country boots. And if you want to avoid that, you want to just go out and get away from big spoiler country, then you can skip to 49 minutes and 21 seconds, and you'll just be out of there. So, all right, let's go. Here I go. I'm about to spoil it. You better go. If you're not gone now, I'm about to say it right now. This movie is, I love the second kiss. The first kiss that lasted forever, that's pretty good, but the second kiss that hurt, that entire scene. I just hit my leg against the table. Hopefully that won't come up and record. But yeah, the entire build-up to the second scene when they finally kiss was so, I love it. If you're listening to this, I'm just gonna, I wanted to be soft on spoilers just in case for the unspoilable crew. But you and me, you listening right now, we're in the spoil section. We're in big spoil country where everything's legal. We can literally just go, we could just sell drugs in big spoiler country. You could do whatever. It's just big spoiler country rules. But yeah, so the second kiss and the build up to it when they finally become official boyfriend and girlfriend. Now, I didn't like the fact that Miyuki basically said, when Kaguya was, be my boyfriend, and he said, fine. And there's several people in the audience who also did not like the fact that Miyuki just went, fine. But it's Miyuki. That's what the guy's about. The guy is still, has his guard up. And the scenes up to that, which I was very vague about in unspoiler country, but we're going to be unvague as possible, where Miyuki is kind of reconciling his identity of wanting to try so hard because of circumstances like failing his mother and about wanting to be seen by Kaguya. That, when he finally kind of confesses and breaks down to that, I'm just like, why are you such an adorable, perfect man? I can see where you're coming from. I can see that the abandonment has really hurt and is damaging you. I can see it. I can see it, my brother. I hurt for you. I hurt for you. And for Shinomiya, I don't know why I bounce between Color of Kaguya and Shinomiya. I don't know what's up with me. For Kaguya to finally kind of say that my identity, I want people to like me. My identity is hard to manifest. It's hard for me to just be who I am and not worry about what other people are going to see me as. And just, I want to be, I just want to be liked. Because that is such a realistic thing, is, you know, they say you have like three faces. You have one that you show everyone, so that you have like acquaintances and close friends, and then you have those you just show the select few, or those you, and that's kind of what I feel like the three Kaguyas represent. You've got Chibi Kaguya, you've got regular Kaguya, and then you've got Ice Kaguya. And I feel like, or at least this is my perception on it, that everybody does have those separate personas in some degree, because the math that I put out in public is not the math that I am deep, deep down. I feel like it's a separate person entirely. In fact, I feel like I got like five Matts roaming around in my head. Don't look too much into that. We got Podcast Matt, the Podcast Matt who does this. He's a nice guy, great guy. He's real Matt. He's a real guy, real Matt. But then you've also got like Matt underneath who is Anxiety Matt. That's the Matt who has everything collapsing on him. And then you got Ice Matt. Ice Matt is for work. Ice Matt is for public functions. That's Ice Matt. Ice Matt ain't that great. I don't like being Ice Matt, but Ice Matt has a place in this world, and by God, he is he's not leaving. So I really, when Kaguya had to kind of reconcile her Kaguyas internally, I said, oh, my girl, I feel that. I feel that, Kaguya. That's me. That's me, Kaguya. And I loved it. I really loved it. I didn't like the fact that it stayed on for so long, as I mentioned prior. It just, on the big screen, it felt like this is an anime episode that's getting extended out into oblivion. What the fuck? And so I didn't enjoy that. But when it finally came to the moment where Kaguya and Miyuki finally said, are finally basically accepted each other and gave their little kiss, especially after their little exchanges. It had me just guffawing. I can't praise this movie enough for how funny it is, but this just becomes me praising Kaguya, because this is, as I mentioned before, it's literally just the Kaguya season 3.5, or Kaguya season. It's just the Kaguya OVAs that have been condensed into a movie. But that's still great, because Kaguya is immaculate with its humor, in my eyes. It always has, as the series goes on, it always has a way with eventually blending in heart with humor. Early on, it does start off very much as a gag, as anyone can tell you that it does really start off as gags of, make you confess, I'll do this, I'll give you my line form number, but oh, joke's on you. And then eventually we get into season two, where you get Yu's story and all that, and then we kind of peel back the layers of Kaguya, or at least it doesn't even have to be just you, but I do lament, and I didn't mention this out of spoiler country, I do lament that the Yu stuff, the Ishigami stuff, got really put in the background. Like, really put in the background. They basically said, if you're not Kaguya or Miyuki, you gotta get off the screen. We paid main character money. We're gonna get main characters. Get out of your side story. Which sucks, because as much as he is not the main character, Yu Ishigami is the main character to me for a good bit of the story. And so I was just waiting the entire time for the Christmas party involving him and Tsubame to be on the screen, and it wasn't. And I like, 3/4 of the way through the movie, I said, I'm not going to get to see that at all, am I? That's not going to happen. Although I can't remember the exact sequence that occurred in the manga, so maybe it happened after this entire thing. I'm sure that the stronger Kaguya Sampa IKEA plant will be able to tell me, but I was just waiting for that. I was just sitting there going, like, when am I gonna get to see my man? Where is he? Where is you? 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 I just wanted to see more of him. I wanted to see more of my man. And that's, yeah, I get why you have to do that, but still, maybe they'll, when they adapt this into, like, this, you know, the TV animation, like, they're going to do it, I have no doubt in my mind. Maybe they'll put the Christmas stuff with you more, they'll be more prevalent, but at this time in the movie, it just wasn't there at all, except in a weird little flashback scene with Tsubame. Which, hey, it's understandable. As I said, can't have everything in your, basically, hour and a half long TV anime episode, which is to a little bit of the fault, if you can see it as a fault in this entire Kaguya experience, is that it's just an anime season condensed into a movie. But hey, there's just so much out of it to really enjoy. Again, the entire Ice Kaguya stuff, absolutely loved everything about that. Absolutely adored every single thing about Ice Kaguya. I find it really funny. And I am actually, after getting out of the movie, I started rewatching Kaguya-sama just for the fact that I said, yo, I want more of this. I absolutely need more of it. I just can't stop, so I'm going to rewatch the entire series. I still haven't read the last chapter of the manga. I'm maybe 5 chapters away from the end, and I just can't bring myself to do it. I'm just scared. I'm frightened, and I'm scared, so I'm probably just going to wait for the Viz editions, and then I'll finish it that way. Because I just don't want the story to just wrap up and me be left alone and them move on without me. But overall, really and truly, just to talk a little bit more about the story, it really feels like we've become a different series entirely with how more actual legitimate love focus the series has started to grow. The romance has taken more center stage than anything else. I mean, there's even this one little gag, maybe like 1/4 of the way through the movie, where the Love is War part of the title wakes up and says, oh, am I needed? Because the series has eventually just descended into a romance story towards the end, or towards the later parts. And that's not a bad thing. I enjoy the romance between Kaguya and Miyuki. It's fun when they were fighting, but I also think they're really cute together, and I adore them. I adore all the little partners and stuff in this series, although I don't want to spoil anything as far as manga goes either, so I'm just gonna leave it at that and not talk anymore and leave you wondering, gasped in suspense, wondering what on earth you did to be left in suspense like this. But I don't think that's actually gonna happen. But overall, it was a lot of fun. The story, I mean, seeing it animated, that was amazing. And I'm really glad that I got to do that. So hey. Anyways, I think about this time we're gonna let our people who decided to skip through big spoiler country, we're gonna welcome them right back right now. So everybody smile and wave. And yeah, give our final thoughts on the Kaguya-sama movie and do as best as we can to be a little bit unbiased and unhindered by our just our love of the series. So what is this? It's just more Kaguya. This is all it can sum up the movie as. It is more Kaguya. It leans more into the romance. So if you want more of the classic love is war formula, that is not going to be here. It is more love than war. There is still war, but not as much war as we're used to. And that's overall going to be what that might hinge on your enjoyment for this series. A lot of the people I know who have talked about this series critically want to sort of scrutinize the fact that the love part, at least earlier on, doesn't happen as frequently and with as much progress as they'd like it to. And then I feel like there's also, on the same token, some people who maybe later on want more humor. I've not met those people, but I'm sure they're out there. And I kind of just sit in the blend of, as I've mentioned in previous reviews, previous discussions, I'm more of a character person as far as what can motivate me to get through stories. And I love the characters, even though when they start off, as far as to season one, might be a little bit one-dimensional and just there to set up gags. But eventually they descend into character hell and become nice little character demons that I love and adore. And so at this point, it's just a series that I adore for the characters. And this really heightens that as we get more internal sort of rummaging, trying to determine what we have inside of us and figure all of that out. And it eventually does reach a point that I'm really happy. This movie does go through an arc I really, really enjoyed. And I love that it kind of concludes on a nice little note that sets up a future seasons. But I mean, like, as if there aren't going to be future seasons. But it ends really nice. It just warms the heart. This movie just warms my heart. Even though I, as a manga reader, knew entirely where we were going, I still think that A1 Pictures can actually kick ass in anime. And they really succeeded with this and put an anime out that just, it's more Kaguya. It's more Kaguya, and Kaguya is already, in my eyes at least, near perfect with humor, with presentation, with all of that. There's so much that goes on in Kaguya that is just peak to me personally. So watching this was just more of what I love. And that's all I can say is that if you are debating over whether you want to watch this movie or not, then it is probably because you're maybe not as invested as you want to be. And by the time you listen to this, maybe there might not be more screenings. We don't know yet. Future Matt knows, but will he say? We don't know. So yeah, if you're debating over whether you want to see this or not, then I don't know if you're that invested in the series to even go see it. That sounds a little bit elitist, but that's really how I feel. If you don't know if you want to see this movie, if it's on streaming by the time you're listening to this, if you don't know if you want to see it, and it just feels like something that's not worth your time, then it probably isn't. I feel like this is at this point when you're getting to the third season's movie, then either you're hooked into it enough to where you're not going to debate it and you're just going to go forward because you've already sunk the time in, or you're like me and you're a super fan and you're not getting out anyways, so you might as well just go see movies, OVAs, everything you can. So really and truly, I feel like the debate over whether to go see this or not is, do you enjoy Kaguya? If yes, go see it. If not, then how did you get this far to begin with? To where you're listening to this and wondering. So, like Kaguya? Go see. Don't like Kaguya? Don't go see. That's all this review can be summed up with. It is, to the critical, as I said, to be critical, like I said before, it does basically just run as an anime episode that just feels spliced together into one long movie, which is something that I said I didn't like about Slime. It just felt like one long episode, and it looked like an episode, and it sunk like an episode, except Slime had the misfortune of not enhancing the story, not carrying anything meaningful to me in it as someone who thought he was a fan. So what was there to get out of Slime that this movie doesn't provide? Well, Slime just didn't provide any story, and it didn't provide any real, like, connection to me. But this does, because it's Kaguya, and it continues the story in a meaningful way, and it's still a lot of fun, and I enjoy it wholeheartedly. And what score do I give it based off of all of that information? You know what I give it. I give it a 10 out of 10. I mean, it's perfect. It's Kaguya. I love it. And I got to put an asterisk next to that because I am absolutely biased. Absolutely. There's not a single thing about this entire franchise that I don't enjoy. I am so wholeheartedly invested into it. I love everything about it. The humor always hits just unmercifully hard for me. The characters, when they actually develop themselves and become real, just flesh and blood characters and just aren't gags for gag's sake, that's, I love all of that. So I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10 because it's a 10 out of 10 for me. It's perfect. I love it. I wish they had more showings so I could have seen it again. And I look forward to this rewatch so much. It's great. It's Mark Kaguya. What can go wrong? Answer me. What could go wrong? I'm asking you right now, listener. Tell me, because I need to know. So that's my perspective on it. But hey, that might not be yours. So if you do have a dissenting opinion, I would always love to hear it by any means. Just always reach out to us and let us know, because I would love, if you don't like it, tell me. If you love it, tell me that too. If you ever want to just talk about it, hey, we're always out there ready and willing to listen. So hopefully you'll be able to see it if you want to. And knowing how Crunchyroll works, it'll probably be on streaming at some point. But still, a great movie, even if it is just 5 or 6 episodes into a hypercut. And while I criticize Slime for that, that's because I didn't like Slime as much as I like Kaguya. So there you go. That's just, we're just not a professional reviewer, just a reviewer. And speaking of just a reviewer, this has been the Otaku Melancholy Podcast. You can go to otakumelancholy.com to see all our links, including those to our social media like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you can even join the Discord and hang out with us. And if you want to talk to me, then you can follow me on Twitter at MattRollingStar and chat with me there, because I'm still not back in my own Discord. So hey, the journey continues to learn all about ourselves. And speaking of people who really have helped us learn all about ourselves, I'm going to thank the patrons for their continued support, including Anime of the Week, Chris S., Cream Puff Coon, Darth Egg, Earthworm the Anime Brother, IKEA Plant, Jalvin, Moe Soda, and Steered Marlin. Thank you all for your support and being awesome, great people, and I hope the best for you and that you get everything that you ever want for Christmas. Not that Christmas is soon, I just think that you should really get everything you want for Christmas, including Digimon. Anyways, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you have a great day, great week, and that, you know, your love isn't war. Or maybe it is. I don't know what you want. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Take care. And Gambate.